Does burnout seem like a distant memory or a vain imagination? Today we're talking about the burnout trap, what it is, how you fall into it, and most importantly, how to get out and stay out. Hello and welcome to Truth Talk about Life and Leadership Solutions, a place where I help leaders like you navigate your life, faith, family, and career so you move forward with peace as you maximize your results. My name is Ijeoma Anyanwu. Let's get into today's talk. Let me start by saying that burnout doesn't just happen or it doesn't happen because you don't love God. Actually, it happens because you do love God. You love your work, but you may be operating with a belief system that's not true. And many leaders fall into this trap without realizing it. So what do I mean by the burnout trap? Burnout is not just being tired. You see, tiredness goes away after a good night's sleep. Burnout doesn't. Research defines burnout across three dimensions: emotional exhaustion, depersonalization, which is when you start to feel detached or even cynical about the people that you're serving. And there's a reduced sense of personal accomplishment. So you are running, but you feel like you are not going anywhere. You are pouring out, but there is nothing coming back in to sustain you and keep you growing. Now, here's the trap, especially for us as Christian leaders. This is what makes it different from regular occupational burnout. We adore busyness. We adore busyness, if I may say it that way. We kind of spiritualize our overextension. We pride ourselves. We tell ourselves that running without a break is like a noble cross that we carry. And so if we are sacrificing that much of ourselves, that means we must be gaining approval from the master. So we wear this exhaustion like it's an ornament. And the people around us often affirm it. They don't help the situation. They say things like, "Pastor, brother or sister, you are working so hard. I don't know how you do it all." And quietly we are thinking, "Neither do I." And we keep going. Now, the trap in all of this is that we are confusing productivity. We are confusing over busyness with productivity and being faithful. We think that the more output equals to more devotion. And because our enemy is also aware of the way we think, and he's a deceiver, he knows that he does not need to get you to do evil things. So what does he do? He capitalizes on this. So he gets you to do many good things until you collapse under the weight of all of it. That's the burnout trap. Doing good. Doing too much for too long without replenishment. Now let's look at some of the warning signs. Because the tricky thing about burnout is that it doesn't just show up. It comes very, very quietly. One of the signs you see is that you are chronically exhausted, not just tired at the end of a hard day, but bone tired even after you've slept. Sleep doesn't restore you the way it used to. That's a sign that you are burnout. Or you start feeling emotionally numb or detached. Ministry moments that used to stir up your heart just look like items on your checklist. You are present in your body, but spiritually, you're really not there. Now, your body may start speaking to you, like headaches, stomach issues, getting sick, disrupted patterns. Your body is holding what your soul hasn't been allowed to process, and it's becoming too heavy. Now, this one is interesting. It affects your relationships. Your relationships are suffering. You become impatient with your family members, your spouse, your children. You get withdrawn from relationships. Your prayer life is dry. And even though you are in the midst of people, you are feeling alone. So you start to self-medicate. You start overeating, overworking, scrolling more than necessary on your phone, numbing out Netflix at midnight instead of sleeping. All of those are signs that burnout may have crept in on you. So if you have seen yourself in three or more of these things that I mentioned, I want you to take it seriously. Now, this is nothing to be ashamed of. Be honest, because awareness is always the beginning of healing. We are not here to judge ourselves. We are not here to condemn. We are here to speak truthfully. Let's look at some of the causes of burnout, because I think sometimes we minimize it. We think, if I just push through this season, then I'll reset. But the thing is, seasons have a way of spilling into each other. I've heard of leaders who've walked away from God, not because they stopped believing, but because they served so hard for so long without replenishment. And then they start feeling abandoned. They start getting angry, become disassociated in their hearts with depletion and pain. And many of them had to get away from what they were called to do just to find themselves again. So I heard this story about a young pastor who had just been appointed to lead a growing church. He was sincere, he was gifted, deeply committed to his call. He loved the people, he loved the work, and he wanted to do his very best, just like all of us. So he gave himself fully into his assignment. He preached, prepared very well, preached his heart out, he counseled, he visited the church members, answered, you know, their mails and their questions and their phone calls, mentored leaders, attending meetings within and outside, and he kept showing up for anyone who needed him. From the outside, it looked like he was doing well. You know, he was carrying on. But from the home front, his wife began to notice that something was not well. He was always on the phone. He became more irritable. He stopped laughing the way he used to. So even when he opened his Bible, it was mostly to prepare for others, not to refresh himself. He was no longer having personal quiet time. And whenever she asked him how he was doing, like most of us, he would say, "I'm fine. I'm just tired." You know, I've heard that a lot. You know, you hear that a lot among us. But it was more than tiredness. So one Sunday morning, he stood up to preach, held the microphone, opened his Bible, and then he just stood there. He couldn't say anything. After a while, he asked one of the elders to step in. He walked down to the front row and sat down. That was his floor, and that was his rock bottom. It wasn't because of one dramatic event that this happened. It was because he had been carrying too much for too long without admitting how empty he had become. But from that place, thanks be to God, he began to rebuild because he recognized it. So he stepped back, got honest, received the help he needed, and he returned to God. Not just as a pastor with responsibility, but he returned first of all as a son who needed restoration. This is what he said afterwards. He said, "I thought stopping meant I was failing. Turns out stopping was the only thing that saved me." So maybe you may be there thinking the same. If I stop now, it will look like failure. I want to say to you that stopping may actually be what you need to press on into ministry and see more results. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. Often, regularly, as a pattern, not as an exception. So Jesus, who had the most important mission, the most important assignment in the history of humanity, treated solitude and withdrawal not as laziness or as abandonment of mission, but as a spiritual discipline essential to his mission. For example, the instruction of Sabbath, which is one of the most radical and countercultural commands in all the scripture. We see it there, that we should not treat it like it's optional. No, God commanded rest before the fall. He didn't even command it. The Bible says he rested and he blessed. And when he started to raise the nation of Israel, he made it a command. So let me ask you, how do you avoid falling into this trap? Take a day of the week to rest. Put it on your calendar. Tell your team members, your organization members, tell them you are resting. You are spending time with the family. Don't answer email. That's not the time to plan your sermon. Don't take any calls. Just do things that restore your soul. Walk, read for pleasure, connect with your family, have a good meal. You know, just do this. It's not luxury. It's obedience, and that obedience will replenish your soul and keep you going. Build daily withdrawal as well into your routine. Before all the demands or in the midst of the demands, find some time to just breathe. Breathe. Give yourself time. Spend time with God. Not that quick devotional all the time. I know sometimes it's busy, but it shouldn't always be that busy. Slow down and enjoy God's presence. Journal, you know, just be silent. Whatever you can do to replenish yourself every day. Personally, for me, that's what quiet time, that's one of the benefits it offers. That place you just sit to breathe, to think about what happened the day before. What am I doing today? So take that time every day. Make time for it. And also know these signs early, because sometimes life gets busy. So when you start noticing some of these signs that I mentioned, you know, try to act on them immediately. Those are warnings from your system. So when you notice them, don't push them aside. It's a sign for you to slow down. I have learned, the older I have gotten, that your body speaks to you. Don't ignore when your body is giving you signs. You don't need to wait until it crashes. Listen to your body. Create a personal board of accountability if you can. I've spoken about this and I won't stop speaking. Accountability partners are good. You know, people who can really talk to you. They don't have to be many. Even one such person is good enough. Just so you don't break the cycle. Set boundaries around your availability. Not everybody needs you immediately. Don't behave like you are the man of the hour. No, every message is not urgent. Establish office hours or working hours. Create after hours. I know it's difficult, but just be intentional about it. And when the Lord sees it, it will help you. You know, don't just be that person who is like, I'm always there. No, create time so that you rest, you replenish, and you are more productive. Let me say, in case you are already there, you say, hey, I'm already there. This is what I want you to do. Stop adding more. Stop. If you're about to say hello or yes to somebody, to an appointment or to a project, no. Stop right there. You cannot fill a leaking bucket by continuing to pour into it. You have to find where it's leaking and seal it. So stop. Okay? Take a breath. Think about it. Go through things that are not necessary. Put them apart. Get some support. Okay? Maybe a counselor, somebody to talk to you, to help you understand where you are, the patterns that drove you where you are, and how to build a different way of operating. And if you need a coach, hey, please get in touch. I'll be more than glad to work with you. Now, I'm not talking about coach as we think of coach. I'm talking about a coach who will offer you the support you need, who will be there to encourage you, who will be there as your accountability person. I am trained to do that. So if you need that, please get in touch at www.ijeomaemanyaun.com. It will be my honor to walk beside you through all of this. Also, I will encourage you to return to the basics very slowly. Sleep, eat well, move your body if you need to, get some exercise, go for walks if you can, go to the gym, reconnect with scripture for nourishment. You know, sometimes we abandon quiet time. Get back there, not just to prepare sermon. Give yourself permission to receive from God so that you can start giving out well again. So recovery is not a sprint back to full capacity. It may be a slow and intentional walk back to yourself. You became a leader because you wanted to serve, because you had a calling, because there was something in you that said, I want my life to count. That desire is good, it is right, it is holy. But you need to nurture it, you need to take care of the vessel, so that you are able to lead other people to that place that you believe that God wants you to lead them to. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you, Lord, for, again, these gems, these words of wisdom that have come out today. I pray, Lord, for those who are listening, for your son and daughter listening. Lord, let these words be words that guide them to make right choices, right decisions, right adjustments that will enable them to keep running the race and that will enable them to finish well. Thank you, Father. Where there needs to be healing, I speak forth healing right now in the name of Jesus. Where there needs to be healing, I speak healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for fresh strength. Thank you, Father, for humility, the grace to acknowledge where we are at and to take the necessary steps to recovery. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much for being here today. And if this talk helped you, please share with another leader who needs to hear this. And don't forget to follow or to subscribe. This series is about helping you lead well for decades, not just for this season. In the next episode, I'll be talking about something you don't want to miss. We are talking about building healthy rhythm as a leader. So please tune in. Until then, take care of the leader in you so that that leader can take care of the people. Bye-bye. For now.